be asking for a tape, first thing you know. Now these trumpets, remember a long time ago before they had the six shooters, the revolvers and things like that, when they had the old muzzle loaders? Those guys, I understand, they carried their gunpowder in horns, didn't they? I know, reading the Bible about Samuel kept his full of oil. David, God would tell him, he'd say, Samuel, go down there and anoint Saul to be king. He'd go down there and find Saul, and he'd empty that horn of oil on his head, and he said, all right, you've been anointed the next king of Israel. Did David the same way, you know, when David came in. Well, he took that horn of oil and just dumped it right on his head. And he said, all right, you're king of Israel. But they used the trumpets throughout the Bible. They used the sound of the trumpets. That's where they got their assembling orders. They'd blow a certain sound on the trumpet and all the people would gather together. And then they get them all lined up here and they blow the trumpet and all of them would march and do things like that, you know. I don't know what they have now, but way back when I was in the old Navy, in the old Navy, they had bells and whistles, and you learn them pretty fast because they had a special signal for you when it was time to eat. And you don't want to get that mixed up with your battle station call. And then they had all kinds of bells and whistles, and I think they had one to tell you when to turn the lights out and go to sleep, all such as that, see. All of us should be pretty familiar with the message over in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when it talks about the trumpets being blown, because the Bible tells us over there that the Lord is going to blow the trumpet and all of the dead in Christ shall be raised from their graves. He's going to blow it again. And every Christian, every saved person that's alive is going to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. At the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet's going to sound. The first resurrection and the rapture, you just don't want to miss that. But not too many people know about these seven trumpets of Revelation, chapters 8 through 11, they get blown. And I'll tell you the reason why. People like to read over in the Gospels or in the book of Acts. That's where the action is. You read the Gospels and read about Jesus. You get over in Revelation and you're out of a lot of people's territory. You get over into what a lot of people would call science fiction. And before I'm through reading it tonight, you'll think that I've been reading a science fiction magazine. There are things here that people say, well, I don't understand that. They understand it all right, they just don't want to know about it. Because it's too horrible to imagine. Now, to set the stage for our lesson tonight, the Apostle John, been exiled to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the gospel. And one Sunday morning, the Lord visited him, and doors opened in heaven, The voice said, come up hither. And he did. And he saw a lot of things up there. But one of the things that he saw was a book that was sealed with seven seals. And no one was found worthy. They looked all over the place. No one was found worthy to take the book and to open the seals. John began to cry. The fellow standing there by him says, don't weep, John. He says, we're going to get those seals open. He says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book and open the seals. A lion? John turned around to see that lion, but what he saw was a lamb as it had been slain. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we've already covered about what happens when those seals were opened till we get down to the seventh seal. And the seventh seal is opened in chapter 8, verse 1. And when that seventh seal is opened, the Bible says there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. And then, as all the inhabitants of heaven were standing on the tiptoe of expectation, here come seven angels. Seven angels. They stand before God. And each angel is given a trumpet to blow. And then after a brief ceremony where incense is burnt upon the altar in heaven, and the prayers of the saints were added to this incense, and the prayers of the saints went up with the smoke of this incense into the nostrils of God, and God smelled it as a sweet-smelling savor. These seven angels prepared to blow their trumpets, one after the other. Look in verse 7 of chapter 8. See what happens when this first angel blows his trumpet. Now remember that in the time frame here, we are in a tribulation on earth. God is raining down judgments upon unbelievers. The saints are already taken out. There's no one left on the earth except unbelievers. And God's going to try to make believers out of unbelievers. And it's a pretty tedious process. The first angel blew his trumpet and looked up. Hail and fire mingled with blood begins to rain down from heaven. I don't know how big the hailstones were. There's going to be some whoppers coming up a little later on in Revelation, because each one of those hailstones is going to be about the weight of a talent, going to be 75-pound chunks of ice falling out of heaven. They call it hail. Hail and fire. And as a result of this hail and fire and blood, a third part of the trees are burned up. Now that they've been talking on television about the destruction of, I forgot now how many trees over there in Russia when they had something fall from the skies and wipe them out. But here you've got a third part of the trees burned up and all the green grass is burned up. That's the first one. Getting off to a good start. Verses 8 and 9 tell us about the second angel. He blows his trumpet. And look at this. A great mountain, as it were, a mountain, burning with fire, was cast into the sea. Missed the earth, but it hit the water. And a third part of the waters of the sea become blood. And a third part of all of the creatures in the sea die. A third part. That's all of them, from octopus to sharks and whales and everything else. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. Well, we got some navy that's going to be wiped out here because those ships, I think they're going to have a full crew when this takes place. They're not going to blow the whistle and say, all right, everybody get in a lifeboat and get out there because this ship is going to be destroyed. No, they were on board the ship. That's the second one now. But think of that, a great mountain of fire falling from heaven. The third angel blows his trumpet, verses 10 and 11. And a great star, it's got a name, wormwood, which means bitter. This great star, burning like a light, falls from heaven. It lands upon a third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters, causing the waters to become bitter. And that causes the deaths of many men who drink the bitter waters that have been contaminated with this star wormwood. You can call that a meteor, or a meteorite, or satellite, or whatever you want to call it, but it falls from heaven and contaminates the fresh water on the face of the earth. Verse 12, the fourth angel blows his trumpet. A third part. And this I don't understand, and if you can understand it, you explain it to me, okay? A third part of the sun and the moon and the stars are smitten. Now first was the sea, then the fresh water, and the land actually, with the hail and the fire, and then the sea, and then the fresh water, and now then the sun, moon, and stars. A third part are smitten. And the Bible says that a third part of them was darkened. And it says the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Normally our day, we got daylight savings time coming up. I don't know whether this is daylight savings time or not, but we'll say from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. That's our daylight hours. The sun's come up in the east and it's going all the way across the sky and setting in the west. But the day shone not for a third part of it. Now that must mean that a third part of the day is going to be dark. But He says, and the night likewise. Now it's night when the sun goes down. Until it comes up in the morning, that's what we call night. But the night is likewise. So I don't know if that's a shortening of the hours of the day. Got a 16-hour day instead of a 24-hour day. But anyway, you're getting the sun and the moon and the stars involved in this judgment. Now, after that fourth trumpet sounds, there's a brief intermission. And during this recess, there's an angel that flies through the midst of heaven. And he cries with a loud voice. Here's what he says. Woe! 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 Now for most of us, woe means stop. Because that's donkey talk. That's animal talk. You're riding your horse and you tell it to whoa and it's supposed to stop. That's your brake mechanism when you're riding horses. That and the reins, of course. But this is not the W-O-A-H kind of woe. This is a W-O-E type woe. And it's completely a different kind of woe, and it's got nothing to do with stopping. May make you wish it would stop, but it's not. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. We've got four of them. Now we've got three more. Woe and woe and woe. And if you think that those first ones were bad, wait till you see these next three. In chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, the fifth angel sounds, blew his trumpet. A star fell from heaven unto the earth. Now this was not a literal star that you would go out here and look at through a telescope, not a planet. But this is a person, probably an angel, because God uses a lot of angels for a lot of things. A star fell from heaven unto the earth, and he, it's a person, given a personality here, he was given a key. And the key that he was given fit a lock that was on the door of the bottomless pit. Now, I don't know where the bottomless pit is. I may have walked around it a dozen times in my life, but I don't know where it is. But there is a bottomless pit. It's locked up. And this star comes down from heaven and he has the key to this bottomless pit. Interesting thing about the bottomless pit. You read through the book of Revelation, you'll find it mentioned some seven times. It's usually associated with devils and demons and the unsaved. It's associated with darkness, imprisonment, and suffering. I think it was prepared for the devil and his angels, because the devil is going to be spending some time in it at the end of the tribulation period, isn't he? Now, bottomless pit. The Greek word is abyss, A-B-Y-S-S. Described as the abode of evil spirits and demons. I didn't check this out, but I think that Judas's own place that he went to when he hung himself after he had betrayed Jesus to his enemies, that's where he went. And again, that's the place where Satan will be confined for 1,000 years under lock and key during the millennium, Revelation chapter 20. Now, the door of the bottomless pit is opened. Smoke, as from a great furnace, comes boiling out of it. The sun in the air is darkened by that smoke. Now, when there's smoke, there's usually fire somewhere, isn't it? Because that's where the smoke is coming from. It kind of gets scary here. But if you think that's bad, I mean, you open the door to that bottomless pit and all of this smoke comes boiling out, fills the air. Man, it's going to drive those environmentalists crazy. There's going to be bills going through Congress so fast that the president can't sign them all. It's going to be rough. But the worst is yet to come. Out of this smoke. Now here's where it really gets scary. Out of this smoke come locust-like creatures upon the earth. They're not ordinary locusts. I think these are demons in physical form. They're described, their bodies are described as they're like miniature horses. Having the slightest idea how big or how small they are. But they're like miniature horses prepared for battle. Now, prepared for battle means that they're kind of warlike creatures. And they have heads, of course, and on their heads are crowns like gold, wearing golden crowns. They're depicted there as conquerors. Their faces of these locusts are like the faces of men. I think that's a display of intelligence. And they have long hair. No, they're not hippies. They have long hair like women. And that makes them seductive and attractive, don't you see? Yes. They have a mouth, and in their mouth they have teeth, and the teeth are as the teeth of lions. Destructive, hurtful. They are clad in breastplates like iron. Makes them indestructible. Kind of like wearing bulletproof vests. These locusts have tails. These horse-like locust things have tails. And their tails are like scorpions. They've got a stinger in the end of them. And they have been given the power to hurt. They must have wings because it says that they flew. When they flew through the air, it sounded like the chariots of many horses running to battle. We might could describe that like a, when I was a boy growing up, I was 16 when World War II started and I couldn't go in right away, but down there in Texas, they had an airfield somewhere, I never know where it was. They were training these teenage boys that just graduated from high school to fly those great big old bombers. And there would be times I'd be out in the field out there plowing with a team of mules, and these bombers would come and you could nearly throw a rock up there and hit them. They were so low. And they were flying wingtip to wingtip. And they just darkened the air. And it seems like there would be a 500 of them fly over at one time. Man. And I used to, when I would read this in Revelation, I'd think about those bombers coming over like that. And all of the noise. Man, they'd shake the corn off the cob when they passed over the field. Man. All right, that's what they looked like. Now, they had a king over them, a ruler, a leader. And who is this king? He's identified as the angel of the bottomless pit. The guy that's in charge of it. His Hebrew name is, I don't know how you pronounce this, you can call it Abaddon. Or Abaddon. I used to call it Abaddon. I think I'll pick up Abaddon. I like to say Abaddon. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. That word means destruction. In the Greek, the name is Apollyon. That means destroyer. He's the leader. He's the king. He's the devil. I think he's Satan. But you know something? With all of this, God has them under control. They can only do what God allows them to do. And he's put them here, and there's a prohibition. They are prohibited from hurting the vegetation. The grass, any green thing, or any tree. Well, what can they do? They can sting and inflict pain and torment, but only on those people on earth who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. When they see that mark of God, boy, they fly in the other direction. See, only God can do anything like that. See, he's got them under control. Now, they'll fly over here and they'll use that old scorpion-like tail and they'll sting somebody and it will hurt them. But it doesn't kill them. It can only torment them with their stings. And this goes on for 5 months. Not four, not six, but 5 months. And these old boys out here that get stung with those things, oh, it hurts so bad they want to die. I want out of my misery. So he takes a gun and puts it to his head and pulls the trigger. Gun goes bang, but he can't kill himself. Isn't that strange? There's coming a time when nobody for maybe 5 months here will not die because they can't die. They can't commit suicide. They can't shoot each other. Unable to kill themselves. I don't know how God works out something like that. Maybe, just maybe all of their guns and knives have been confiscated. Like when the Philistines came into Israel one time, they took all of their swords and their weapons from them. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had swords. I remember back before World War II, a fellow that was over in Germany by the name of Adolf Hitler. He was going to have peace at any price in his country, so he rounded up all of the guns. We know how that turned out. Now, there's two more woes yet to come. You notice as the end approaches, the intensity, the severity of these trumpet judgments increase dramatically. The next judgment's even worse. Verse 13 of chapter 9, the sixth angel blew his trumpet. And here's a voice that comes out from the golden altar that's before the throne of God. And that voice says, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. We know about the Euphrates River. By the way, these four angels are not good angels. I don't know what they did to get bound and put in that Euphrates River. I don't even know how long they have been there. But they're loosed. And they're loosed for the purpose of killing a third part of the people of this world. Now, if it were today, that would be about 2,355,000,000 people. If you bury all those, you're going to have a lot of grave diggers. That's something. Did you know that our population, the world population, is estimated at 7.064 billion? And it's increasing at the rate of 145 people a minute. Now that's, you've got people, of course, that are dying, and you've got babies that are being born. But the ones that are being born, they're being born faster than they're dying, and the population is increasing 145 a minute. Just think how many new babies there are in the world today since we've been in this church building tonight. That's enough to populate a city, isn't it? Now, by this time, of course, the population will have been thinned out. There's already been some judgments that have taken out a lot of people. And also, all of the Christians are gone. They've been raptured out. So, they're not in this. But here, there's a great army that's led by these four angels, and the number of horsemen in this army is 200 million. That's a lot of people in the army. They're riding horses. You wonder where they're going to get all those horses, huh? You see, there's going to be something happened, and I don't know where it is, that's going to disrupt all of our modern warfare equipment and put us back into the Stone Age, as it were, when it comes to fighting battles. Now, all of the soldiers and the horses are wearing armor, prepared for battle. And this is not an ordinary scene. The heads of these horses are like lions' heads. Now picture a life-size horse, and his head is like a lion's head. And coming out of his mouth, fire and smoke and brimstone. And that's going to kill a third part of men. The fire, smoke, the brimstone. I told you this sounds like science fiction. I used to read those science fiction books. I recognize it right here in Revelation. This must be where they got their ideas. But these horses with lion's heads have tails. And it's not a regular horse's tail either. Their tails are snakes. And the biting end of the snake is at the end of the loose end of the horse's tail. It's not the one that's fastened to his backbone. So here he comes at you. A lion's mouth. A lion's head. And if he turns around this way, the snake's going to bite you. He's going to get you from either end. Now, the bite of these tail serpents are described as extremely painful. So that sixth trumpet judgment, combined with the fourth seal judgment of chapter 6 and verse 8, is going to reduce the population of the earth to about one half of the number of people that were here to start with at the beginning of the tribulation. Half of the earth's population. Now, that's a lot of deaths. You would think that calamities such as this would turn the people to God. You would think that they would fall on their faces before God and cry out for mercy. But they don't. They blaspheme the God of heaven. They don't repent. But they're still religious. Yes, they have their idols that they go to. And they continue to worship devils. But of course, their false gods don't help them or deliver them. Now, let's go on here. In chapter 10, we've got another short recess as we prepare for the sounding of the seventh and last trumpet. That's the grand finale when God wraps it up. Chapter 10, verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So it's winding down now. So here we come in chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh and last angel blows his trumpet. And this trumpet call says to the world, give me your attention. God's going to get their attention. An important announcement is about to be made. Great voices were heard in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. The grandest and the greatest inauguration or coronation of all time is now come. The millennial kingdom of Christ is established, and King Jesus returns to this earth to set up his kingdom, and we shall return with him in our glorified bodies to rule and to reign with him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Whew. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Now you understand why a lot of people don't like to read the book of Revelation. Because there are things in there that sound ridiculously impossible. But remember, all things are possible with God. And if God can shake this world with a fist-sized rock that comes down and hits this earth, he can do just about anything. Nothing is impossible with him. Something to think about. Because we're not going to be here during that time if we're saved. You don't want to miss the rapture and the first resurrection. Very important that you're prepared when that time comes. Because when that trumpet sounds and all of the saved are caught out of here, you don't want to be left standing there watching them go up. Too much at stake. So we want to make sure that our hearts and our lives are right with God. That's amazing. And you know, I think it's getting close. The time is getting short when these things are going to begin to come to pass on the earth. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother John, will you lead us, please, in our benediction tonight?
Gracious Father, we do thank you for the understanding that we have as we read your precious word. We have come to believe that we were not on the earth at that time. We have come to believe this, that we are not appointed unto wrath.
Amen.
The wrath is for us, so that are on the earth that on our Lord Jesus Christ, and these plagues and these judgments coming upon the earth, very severe judgments, to bring men who would possibly turn and repent. But we thank you, Father, that we have this great hope, that there is a day coming, and we believe soon. come again and take us to himself, that he is where we may be also.
Amen.
And we know that where he is not upon the earth at that time. And when the judgments will come upon the earth, and the judgment from above. We thank you, Father, that we believe that we will be delivered at that time, that we will be safely brought forward. Father, as we look at the events that are happening in this present world, we believe, Father, that the day is drawing close.